Something I think that we're lacking in, and that's thanking God for all that He gives us. That power that indwells us should be a daily thing for us. This upcoming Thursday is a day we set aside for Thanksgiving. Governor Bradford in 1623 made this proclamation 3 years after the Pilgrims settled at Plymouth Rock. He wrote, "To all ye pilgrims, inasmuch as the Great Father has given us this year an abundance of harvest of Indian corn, wheat, peas, squashes, and garden vegetables, and he has made the forest to abound with game and the sea with fish and clams, and inasmuch as he has protected us from the raids of the savages, has spared us from pestilence and disease, has granted us freedom to worship God according to the dictates of our own conscience, now I, your magistrate, do proclaim that all ye pilgrims with your wives and ye little ones do gather at ye meeting house on ye hill between the hours of 9 and 12 in the daytime on Thursday, November, ye 29th of the year of our Lord, 1623, and the third year since ye pilgrims landed on ye Plymouth Rock, there to listen to ye pastor and to render thanksgiving to ye Almighty God and for all of his blessings." That Thursday was one day that the pilgrims set aside to thank God for all that he'd given us, their protection, the abundance of grain and game and fish and clams. And that's great. But as Christians, we need to remember that every day we should be giving thanks to our Lord Jesus Christ and to our God Almighty. Because every day he blesses us with those things. Now, there's nothing wrong with setting a day aside. You know, that's a day we gather with family. We make it something special, a family community thing. And oh yeah, for all you Walmart shoppers, Black Friday begins at 6 o'clock on Thanksgiving. They can't tell time. Thanksgiving has changed so much in this country. You know, I remember growing up when it was a time when the families all come together and we sat down together and watched football. There wasn't any Black Friday then. And it was great and they're wonderful times. It was a time that we shared the blessings that God had given us throughout the year. But what I want to talk about today is about perspective on what Thanksgiving should be and what it is. I want to share a couple verses with you. First of all, of Ephesians chapter 5, verses 19 and 20, where it says, "Speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ." And the second one is 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 16, 17, and 18. It says, "Rejoice always, pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." Now, Paul's main subject here was about praise and thanksgiving. And there's other important words like always, continually, in all circumstances. You know, it sounds if Paul's talking about a church service here, which he could be, but he's not. He's talking about every day of our lives. This is how we should be, with thanksgiving, with praise, with worship in our hearts. But maybe you're sitting here wondering, how can we do this continually? And I'm here to tell you that it's possible. That can be your attitude. That can be your perspective on life. But I believe there are three situations that as Christians we allow to be stole away from us, that feeling of happiness and joy and praise. And the first one is, I think, the big one, and that's our pride. Our pride, that's what tells us, what makes us feel like I've done this all on my own. I've worked hard for where I'm at today. I did it all on my own. No one helped me. I clawed my way to the top. That's an attitude of pride. And what about those younger that said, I've studied hard. I've gotten good grades. I've done this on my own. With that kind of attitude, we allow no place for God in our lives. We worship ourselves and not the true source of our power, not the true source of our success in life. Both the things that make us happy and the things that pull us down from time to time. Another attitude is a critical spirit, constantly complaining. Instead of being cheerful or happy, this person will always be looking for something to complain about. And I don't know if your parents have ever said this to you. My mom used to say, you'd complain if you were hung with a new rope. Anybody heard that out here? Or is that just a hillbilly thing from my family? But the thing is that we're not looking for the best. We're looking for the worst. We're looking for something to complain about. A third attitude that keeps us from being grateful is carelessness. We become jaded to things around us. I've said before, what if the stars only come out one night a year? What would you be doing? You'd be outside that night, all night, watching those stars twinkle in the sky. But the Lord in His wisdom allows us to have stars every night. So we become careless. We don't pay attention to the stars. When is the last time you looked up into the sky at night and just looked at the stars? You should be in awe of the God Almighty that put all that up there for us. But we become careless. What about the Israelites? They complained. They complained about food. And God gave them manna every night except for the Sabbath. And yet, they started complaining. This is perfect food given down from God every night. Or every morning, I should say. And yet, they found something to complain about. Have you heard of Rudyard Kipling? He was a great writer, poet. I enjoy his stories, his poetry. But he had one aspect of his life that was unique. He enjoyed income, wealth from his writing while he was still alive. Most of the authors, you know, their works weren't accepted until after they were gone. But he was a little different. And the story goes that one day a reporter came to him and said, Mr. Kipling, a man did a study and found out that your words are $100 a piece for your writing. You're that well paid. And he supposedly replied, I did not know that. So the reporter pulled a $100 bill out and handed it to him. He said, Mr. Kipling, I want to buy one of your $100 words. They said Kipling looked at the $100 bill, folded it up, put it in his pocket, and said, thanks. Don't know if it's true or not, if it's an urban story, but I'll tell you, that's a $100 word, maybe a $1 million word. It's a word that we don't use enough. It's a word that should be continually used by Christians. And I don't mean that offhanded thanks that we throw around so much, but a heartfelt, deep thanks when you appreciate what's been done for you or for someone else. That thanks that we should be giving to our parents, but too often we withhold. To be thankful in all circumstances, like Paul was writing, we need to have the proper perspective of our circumstances. And only then we'll be able to thank the Lord in the proper ways that we should. You know, I was thinking this morning, I turned the news on while I was getting ready to come down here, and I see the things going on around the world and things in our own country. You know, if any country in the whole world needs to be thankful for God, it should be the United States. Amen. You look at our history. Our successes weren't because of us. It was because of the blessings that God poured out onto this country. And who other but Christians should be praising God all the more, should be thanking God all the more, but the Christians that live in this land? I want to share with you some different ways that I think that we can learn about thanksgiving from the Bible. The first one is it should be expressed. I read a Psalm 100 last week, and it said, enter his gates with thanksgiving in your hearts. How do you enter God's gates? That's every day you get up. Every day you should be thanking Him. You should be thanking Him for the day that's ahead. Psalm 107 said, "Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good." He is good. We should express our thanks every day and to other people also. In Luke 17, we read about 10 lepers that were healed. And you know, out of those 10, only one was willing to come back and say thank you to Christ. And he asked, "Where are the other 9? And then he told that one that returned, he said, "Your faith has made you well." Have you ever wondered why Jesus said that? They were all 10, were already healed. They were healed when they went to see the priest. It didn't depend on them coming back to Christ, but one did. And his healing was made full, not only physically, but spiritually. Jesus told him to go in peace, and he was healed. He was made whole. And I think it's the same one for each one of us. We go through our lives, but we're not made whole unless we're thanking God and thanking people. You know, maybe we're not healed of leprosy. But think about your life. How many times have the Lord stepped in and helped you? Did you take the time to thank Him properly? With a thankful heart, with an attitude of faith, recognizing who He is. You see, a thankful heart will endear us to others and them to us. People see that attitude in your life if you're truly thankful when someone does you a good deed, a good turn. And that in turn glorifies God the Father. But there's a downside to it. Listen as I read Romans chapter 1, verse 21. Paul says, "Because although they knew God, they did not glorify Him as God, nor were they thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened." See, this passage implies that if people are ungrateful to God, they will soon fall away. And I believe truer words were never spoken. You see, their hearts become hardened. We see pride keeping people from worshiping God and being thankful. I've had so many people tell me that they're Christians, but then they tell me, "You don't have to attend church to be a Christian." Those are the people that Paul's talking about here. And you know what? They're right. You don't have to go to church to be a Christian, but you're a disobedient Christian. Why do you think God commands us to gather together, keep the Sabbath holy for Him? It's so we can give thanks. So we can give thanks to each other. So we can fellowship and we can share our lives with each other. So how do we say thank you to God? Other than saying it in our prayers, which is a good start. First, if we spend time with Him, and I'm not talking about this 1 hour on Sunday morning. I'm talking about spending time with God every day. We spend time with God. We thank God when we read our Bible. We thank God when we forgive others. Do you ever think about that? Be quick to forgive because you're giving thanks to God. When you serve in church, you're giving thanks to God. He needs all His soldiers on the battlefield, not just a few. When you share the plan of salvation, boy, then you're giving thanks to God. When you reach out to hurting people, when you give God the best of your time and your talent, you're saying thank you to God. And when you praise Him enthusiastically from your heart, when you praise Him and you mean it, you're giving thanks to God. Our thanksgiving should be expansive, not just a little narrow thank you to God. It should include at least 3 things. First, a thanksgiving for the blessings of life. Did you ever thank God for dirty dishes in your sink? You know what? Normally that means that you're fed, that you have food, you have drink. So we can thank God for their dishes in our sink. And I thought another one while I was preparing this. Guys, have we ever thanked God when we have to rotate the tires on our car or change the oil or the other little maintenance that we have to do? Because that means we have a vehicle and we're able to get around. I just laughed because we went through that a week ago. But did we think to praise God for that? And for the fellowship that we had, the good time that we had. Too often our prayers are very general. Thank you, God, for all the blessings that you've given me. We have a psalm we sing here in the church. It says, count your blessings, name them one by one. And that's what we should be doing. Counting the blessings. Does God bless you every day? Yeah. Amen. And then there's the burdens of life. This isn't quite as easy. How can we be thankful? 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says, give thanks in all circumstances. Ephesians 5:20 said, always giving thanks. You may think Paul made a mistake, or it was easy for Paul to say that, but it wasn't. You see, Paul had an affliction he called a thorn in his side. He'd been run out of town. He'd been beaten, whipped, imprisoned. He'd been stoned. He'd been cold and he'd been hungry. And he'd been shipwrecked. And yet, Paul never stopped saying thanks. Paul said several things that really show how he felt and the perspectives he had on the burden of life. Romans 8:18, he says, for I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared to the glory which shall be revealed in us. 2 Corinthians 12:10, he said, therefore I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecutions, in distress for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. And again in Philippians 1:12, he said, but I want you to know, brethren, that the things which happened to me have actually turned out for the furtherance of the gospel. We have a proper perspective. We can give thanks in all things. You know, over the years, I've learned to be thankful for some of the difficulties my family's faced. Notice I didn't say I was thankful for the difficulties, just thankful in them. And that's what Paul has said. Christians, you're being watched. You're being watched by other Christians, and you're being watched by an unbelieving world. And what Paul was trying to tell us, that these sufferings that we suffer now, the losses that we have in our life, or these attitudes pale in comparison to what God has promised us in the future. What he's saying is these things are so trivial, they're not even worth mentioning. Because of what God in His glory is going to give us. He said, therefore I take pleasure in it. I wish I was as good as Paul and I could say I take pleasure in my troubles. But I can say I understand them. And that watching world is going to judge who God is, who Jesus Christ is, by the way us as Christians react to those problems. Do we go through those problems with a complaining heart? We shouldn't. We should go through those problems always praising God and giving thanks for the blessings that He gives us. And if you can do that, God will be glorified. God will use your circumstances to bring glory to Himself and hope to the lost. I remember when my mom had cancer and the things that she went through. And you know, in the time she had cancer, it's not like now where they got all the newer procedures and things that they do. But she suffered greatly when she had cancer just by the treatment. And yet she managed to be cheerful and she could make a joke out of her treatments and the different things that were going on. And that's what made me wonder why she could do that and how she could do that. And that's what helped draw me to God, because I saw there was something more. The pain and the suffering was one thing, but the joy of life was still there. And I know my story isn't unique, Probably every one of you here have a story just like that, where someone has inspired you. And that's what Paul's talking about being thankful, about sharing those thanks with other people. God will be glorified. People will be encouraged, and his kingdom will be added to, because they can see the light of Christ. You see, if you're a thankful Christian, you should be glowing with the light of Jesus Christ. But there's another part of it. Our thanksgiving is expected. Paul said to give thanks in all circumstances because this is God's will. Can you agree with me that it's God's will for your life to be thankful? I hope so, because the Bible says so. And the Bible's not wrong. Because if we do that, again, lives will be changed. Being thankful is also the mark of a growing Christian. We have to learn to be thankful. We have to grow into that. Just like a baby has to be taught. Have any of you ever had a child that was colic? We did our first one, Jenny. And you had to walk her. You had to hold her and walk her around till she'd settle down. Then you lay them down. Does a baby say thank you? No. They normally just scream louder. A baby has to be taught to be thankful, to say thank you. And a baby Christian has to be taught also. I understand that we have the desire, but it's not ingrained into our life yet. Being thankful is also the mark of a giving Christian. When we realize how much God has done for us, we'll give with a glad heart. And we should be more than happy to give something back to him as in thanks. And this comes not through only our finances, but also of our time, as we thank God for the blessings that he's given this church and our families. James 1:17 says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights. You know, for most of us, we're happy to give a 15% tip to a waitress for good service. But for many Christians, it's hard to give 10% to God for the blessings that he gives us. If you're truly thankful with God, you'll be glowing with the light of Christ. The critical spirit will just evaporate away. We'll become more free with our thank yous and we'll mean them. It will become ingrained in us as a Christian. 2 Corinthians 4:8, Paul said, we are hard-pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed. Christians in this country are hard-pressed on every side, and it's getting worse. May we feel that in our family, in our lives. We have problems. We have struggles in our lives. But I believe, for the reasons I've given you, if we become thankful Christians, that just like Paul, we'll be able to endure. We need to separate the woes of this world from the thankfulness we have for God. A missionary named Henry Frost wrote this. He was a missionary in China for many years. And he wrote, I have received some sad news from home, and deep shadows had covered my soul. But I prayed, but the darkness did not vanish. I summoned myself to endure, but the darkness only deepened. Then I went to an inland station and saw on the wall of the mission home these words, try thanksgiving. He wrote, I did, and in a moment every shadow was gone, not to return. Try thanksgiving. It changed things for Henry Frost. And what about your life? Is there something going on in your life right now? Let's all stand together, bow our heads. I want you to listen for a minute. The psalmist wrote, it's a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord. I just want you to think, have you been going through some hard times in your life right now and prayed, and they're still going on? Have you told yourself that you can keep going and they'll go away? The things will get better, and yet they're still there. You're still struggling. Now I ask you today, why not try Thanksgiving? Just take a moment to give thanks to the Lord and ask Him to help you remember, to help you recognize all the good things that comes down from above, all the blessings that He's poured out on you and your family. And the way I see it, He asked for so little in return. He asked you to be thankful every day of your life. He asked you to be thankful for Him and thankful to each other. Heavenly Father, You are the author of all good things. And Father, You pour Your blessings out so freely upon us. And so often, Father, in our hard-heartedness, we don't recognize the source. Father, we try to do things on our own instead of tapping into that power, just as we sang today. Father, I want to take this moment right now just to thank You with all my heart for all that You give, for Your love, for our salvation through Your Son. Father, I want to give You thanks for every person that's here today. I'll give You thanks for their service to You, Father. And I just want to raise them up and ask that You would pour Your blessings out upon them. And Father, I want to thank You right now for our fellowship dinner that we're going to have. Because I know You will be lifted up and we will rejoice as we eat together. And it's in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen.